Hey, everybody, this is Stelly Efty.
And this is Heaton Shaw. And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to buy and sell a SaaS business.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yet. We want you to do your best.
We're going to focus on sort of both sides, but we're also, I think it's going to go pretty quickly. The main reason is I personally don't have much to say on this. I've bought and sold several dozen businesses, SaaS businesses. Both my partner Neil and I, we buy SaaS products relatively often. We don't really announce most of the ones we buy. The ones that have been announced is we bought Hello Bar back in 2012. Which is this one of the first businesses to add a bar to your website. Now there's a bunch, like dozens. And then we also bought a CRM called Stride a while ago as well. And then we sold it. So I guess for me, like the thing I would say is if you're buying a SaaS business, you have to just look at the business. Often I just see people not looking at the business. It's all in the business, meaning look at the financials, try to get to those numbers, understand the MRR, and all the SaaS metrics, because that's the main thing that you're going to have to help you evaluate whether you should buy it. The other thing is when you do that, you should then be evaluating on, can you actually grow this business or does it satisfy some need that you have? For example, at close.io, just to pick on you, Stelly, you have a SaaS business. It's a CRM tool. I don't think you guys are integrated with Gmail yet, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So you're not integrated with Gmail. And so let's say there's a SaaS tool out there that integrates with Gmail and you want to buy it. You would evaluate things like, if we bought it, is it going to make us more money? If we bought it, is it going to make our customers happier and then make us more money? If we bought it, does it add a feature that would take us a long time to build or a lot of money? And is it either cheaper or smarter in some way to just buy it? And then guess what? It's going to make us more money. So at the end of the day, when you buy a SaaS business, you want to make it more money. Or you want to make the business that's buying it, if it is an existing business that's buying it, more money. Otherwise, don't buy it. That's like my biggest piece of advice on the SaaS side. If you can't grow it or it won't make you more money in some way, don't buy it. And there's a lot of exceptions to that. But on a very high level, that's been the rule of thumb that I would use. Made mistakes around that. I mean, one of the reasons we bought a CRM and then sold it is we just thought we could grow it a certain way. We actually could, but then we didn't want to work on it anymore. And we didn't want to have one of those businesses out there. So we're not competing with you, Stelly. It feels great.
Yes.
We had one of those and we are constantly also just buying tools that don't make money. So we're buying SaaS tools that don't make money because it helps us make money. Like we can augment it. We can get leads from the tool and things like that. So there's a lot of those kind of things that we're buying, but you always want to evaluate it from a business perspective more than anything else. And when you're selling it, usually in a SaaS business, you're selling it because you're tired of it is the most common reason, believe it or not, that I hear from founders. And I would reevaluate whether you should sell it, if it's making money and if there's a way to grow it on your own without anybody else. So I'm sure you have some questions or some of your own kind of thoughts on this. I'd love to hear kind of what's going through your head.
Yeah. So I love the basics here, right? So you're like, hey, can this make us more money or is this making money, right? So looking at it as a business, not necessarily just looking at the tool, right? But now let me ask about pricing. So this could help us make more money, but you know, it also costs money. So now we have to make some kind of a simple math in terms of like how much money can we make with this, or do we think is reasonable to make, and then how much money are they asking us for, and can we afford to put that money down or to finance that or whatever the financial structure of it is. What do you think that it makes a big difference? So is there a multiple involved or some basic math involved? And I know already the answer, but I'm setting myself up here for failure. But how do you think about like the price tag that you attach to the product that you buy here?
It's very arbitrary because it depends on the size of the SaaS business. So if the SaaS business is doing like, I'd say more than about $1 million a year in ARR, annualized recurring revenue, and is growing at some healthy pace, like 5%+ month over month. And I don't consider that necessarily healthy, but that's healthy if you're buying it. Then you can be a little predictive about what would happen if you didn't do anything and you bought the business. But I mean, it has a lot to do with opportunity and I don't really have any good metrics when we're talking about like smaller SaaS businesses. Like I've seen as low as like 1x on the annualized recurring revenue all the way up to like 5 in those kind of categories. I've also seen deals where people will not even have to pay a year of recurring revenue to buy it. And a lot of times that's because the profit margins are different or there's other components of the business. So I don't really have a heuristic on this like in any way. And when a business is not making any money and it's like a freemium tool or really early, then all bets are off. Like usually the buyer's trying to get the lowest price and the seller is obviously trying to maximize whatever they can get out of it. So most of the time on the smaller SaaS side, it's a lot of negotiation. And honestly, prior to like 10 million in revenue, it's usually just a small transaction, like some level of small, whatever that means.
So what about buying versus selling? So the SaaS apps that you've bought, so just to put that out there, we've never bought a SaaS company. We've been offered a bunch of them over the years, and most of them we have not really seriously considered. There were two cases where we seriously considered buying them and then ended up not for various reasons. One of them, you were actually fairly well informed and involved, and we were like, I was talking to you about that a few times to get your advice and your insight. But we've never pulled the trigger for various reasons. But the companies that you bought, the SaaS apps that you bought, were those all you deciding strategically you want to buy a tool like this or a company in that space and then going and finding one? Were those all opportunistically kind of falling on your lap? They reached out to you and offered?
Yeah,
or was it a mix?
For us, the ones that are making money, usually it's opportunistic. Like somebody comes to us and says, oh, I want to buy this thing. The ones where we're like, usually they're not making money and we just like what they're doing and we think we want it, we'll just go buy it. Like we'll literally go to them and be like, we want to buy this thing. Right. And the reason is like we don't really like post revenue deals where we're going after them because we're not sitting here trying to buy and sell companies. That's not our main job. We just like being opportunistic. So most of the time, if something's making money, the seller is generally not wanting it anymore for one reason or another. Usually it's very personal reasons. And so then they're looking for buyers and they talk to multiple people or ask somebody they know, et cetera, or hire somebody who can help sell it. And we get hit up and probably five other folks that are the same get hit up about it, or people like you that are in the same tangential or whatever business. But usually it's inbound for us. We're not going and hunting these down. That being said, like I would if it made sense, you know, like if there was something very specific we were looking for, we'd go hunt it down and buy it. But again, this is the part where everyone gets wrong. It's like, look at the financials, yours and theirs, and go figure out if it can make you more money. Like, that's what you did, I'm sure, when you were looking at those deals, you know, the one we were talking about and others. It's like, will it help us make more money? And do the math. That's the other thing I don't see people do. We buy it. They have this many customers. We have this many. We think this percentage will get upsold to something new that is based on their technology or is exactly their technology, things like that, and do some estimates and really understand how long it'll take to pay back the amount of money you spent on it. Pay back when you pay yourself back. Like, what's the break-even point to the transaction? Those are the business basics that everybody misses. And also, if you are a seller, go help the people that are buying figure that out if you can. If it's a transparent exchange and you guys can't really figure out the team, the people involved, the buyer and the seller can't figure out the price, the best thing to do is, well, like, is it going to make you money? That's what I would ask if I was selling something. Is it going to make you money if you buy it? Great. Can I help you figure out how it's going to make you money? I'm not looking for all that value. I'm just saying, if I can help you figure that out, maybe we can come to a price. Because if the buyer can't name a price, then you're going to be stuck. If the seller doesn't name a price, you're stuck. So the best thing to do is talk to each other and say, what can this thing do for you? And then play it out from there. A lot of scenarios, though, like the buyer is hunting down companies and trying to buy them. And in that scenario, the buyer has a lot more information about what they want to do. And the seller is at some level of a disadvantage in those cases because a buyer won't necessarily want to talk about what they want to do in as much detail. So again, a lot of this is scenario based. But at the end of the day, even if you're the seller and you're in one of those scenarios where the buyer is like, you know, just hunted you down and like the price is known to the buyer of what they're willing to pay, but they won't tell the seller, then it's the seller's job to really do some estimates and try to figure out like, why does this person want the company? And what is it really worth to them? And what's it worth to me to sell the company?
Are there any red flags that are independent of this? So let's say you've done the basic business math and you understand, okay, how much money, how can we make more money with this? What will it cost us? How much time does it take us to get a return on our investment? Like just going through these basics. Let's say a deal looks positive on just the pure math. Are there other factors that will play into buying it or not buying it? Things like whatever.
Oh my God, Stelly, there's a million. Because every deal is a separate deal, right?
Yeah.
And so then it boils down to the terms. How long do I get paid out for, right? How long before I get my money? Is there any money held out, right? What are the requirements on my end, you know, that I need to do as the seller in order to get the money? Because there's a transition of the team and all these complexities that aren't complex, but considerations that both sides need to be honest and real about, right? And that's why, like, if you can understand why the buyer is buying, that's your ultimate piece of information that can help you structure a deal. That's why there's deal structure, right?
Yeah.
And criteria. I mean, the biggest red flag is just like, we love this word, Stelly, but like there's a misalignment.
Misalignment, yeah.
And that doesn't come out till later. So my advice for both sides is ask the questions, write them down. And make it like as if both sides are filling out a questionnaire. That would be my biggest piece of advice, to be honest. Because I've never seen two deals look the same, ever.
Would you advise for people to try to meet in person or at least talk on the phone? Or would you go back and forth in writing and try to keep the conversation in writing?
I love all those methods. And it really just depends on the parties. But if you're talking and you get to specific numbers on the phone or in any venue that's not recorded, like an email, then make sure you send a follow. I mean, this is general best practice, but go send a follow-up email. One of the parties needs to be able to recap what you guys discussed so you're both aligned. If you're seeking alignment first and foremost on the deal, and you're trying to get alignment on the deal, not just the cash, but like all the whole freaking deal, right? So one tip I'll throw out before this is done is do your diligence. If someone's a buyer, they've likely bought a lot. That's like the most common case out there. If they haven't bought a lot, then still do your diligence and talk to them more. Oh, you haven't bought anything before. Cool. So this is foreign to both of us. Great. Let's talk about this and let's talk about both of our expectations and requirements before we jump in. But if they are a common buyer, then like, I mean, go talk to every single person you can that's ever sold a company to them.
I love it. All right. So if you are... So most people that listen to our podcast, they're going to be either in that spot where they have a small app and they're kind of sick of it and they want to move on, or they might be thinking about like getting into the world of business and potentially thinking about purchasing as a way to get kickstarted. Let's talk about these two scenarios and not like larger multi-million dollar SaaS companies. When you're, let's say you have a small app, it makes whatever, 5, 10K in MRR, and you are thinking of selling it for whatever reasons. Let's say you're sick of it. Let's say you want to do something else. Let's say whatever it is. Like, would you advise, is there a best practice in terms of, would you advise them to think about, hey, who could really benefit from this? Who would be a natural fit? And then just write up an email and cold email a bunch of people? Or would you advise them to go to a broker? There's like brokers out there that help, you know, sellers and buyers in the SaaS space to come together. What would be your general advice to those people?
Talk to your broker and learn everything you can, but don't necessarily go with the broker. The brokers have a lot of data about what's working right now and what's not.
Hmm.
The brokers are super happy to talk to you. That's their job, right?
Yeah.
So go to a broker and learn everything you can. That would be my first step. Even these days, I talk to brokers all the time. Just because they give you a good idea of the landscape and what's available from a buyer perspective. But like at the end of the day, the brokers have a lot of data on SaaS right now. They can help you calibrate. Even the answer I gave on like, what's this thing worth? They're going to have way better answers based on at least the deals they've done. Because these small deals have no real legit like heuristics. But these brokers have been buying and selling for a bit. And so they have a better idea of like, you know, rougher, better idea of like what things are bought for. For me, like I'm a buyer too, so I'm biased. I like want to spend as little as possible when I buy something. Like that's just the approach, you know, because you're spending your hard-earned cash, right?
Yep. All right. So that I think that's useful. And now let's wrap the episode up with the other side.
Yeah.
If you're thinking of you want to get into SaaS and you don't have an app yourself, do you think it's advisable to purchase one? Would that be something you would advise anybody do? Is okay. You don't have a SaaS app. You want to know the market you want to go into. Go and buy something small and grow it.
Yeah, absolutely. Go talk to a broker and see if anything's available, or go hit up some companies. Look, like, it's business. It's just like any other business. If you want to get into the business of selling donuts, what do you go do? Right? You either go start Dunkin' Donuts or something like that, a corner donut shop, and go through that whole process. Or if you have some capital and you want to transition into that kind of business, you just go buy one. And the way you do that is by talking to people in the space that might be willing to sell, or talking to somebody who has access to these companies. So yeah, absolutely. Like, if you want to get in SaaS, please get in SaaS. Please go talk to these companies. Just handle it. Yeah. And honestly, I say that because it's much harder to start a SaaS business than to grow one.
To grow one, yeah. All right. This is it, I think, for this episode and from us.
Cheers.